So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Well, today in Ann Kelly's Kitchen, we're going to teach you about a place you may not know about, but is very important. It's the Harvest Hope Center and their community garden. Sarah Combs, the CEO of the University Area Community Development Corporation. Sarah, you have got to get a shorter title, is joining us. Good morning.
Tell me about it.
How are you today?
Good morning. I'm so well. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share with the viewers a little bit about, you know, the heart of the community in the university area and our little secret that we call the Harvest Hope Center that we're so excited to talk to you about today.
Well, let's talk about the center to begin with and then how the garden came about. How did the Harvest Hope Center come to be?
Absolutely. Well, the University Area CDC was started in 1998 as a means to really improve the University Area community. And one of the things that we have been working on is really doing more community development work. Unfortunately, it just didn't seem to really take root in the capacity that we wanted. Mm-hmm. And so we looked and said, what are we doing wrong and what do we need to do right? And one of the things we changed was really in the last three years is our holistic model. And instead of being in our 55,000 square foot community center, you know, with wrought iron fences and armed security guards, we said we really need to go out into the community, you know, to meet with the residents, to really be engaged in the community development work that we need to be doing. And so we had a piece of property, 7 acres in the heart of the university area. It used to be the former Police Athletic League, and nothing was really happening on that piece of land. And so about 3.5 years ago, we said, we need to do something in the heart of the community. And I said, we're going to do a garden. And everyone said, well, why in the world would you pick a community garden of all things, you know, to do in this, you know, this urban blighted area? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, for one, you know, the health outcomes are equal to those of El Salvador. It's a food desert. It's a food swamp.
Ooh.
We have some serious, you know, nutritional deficiencies in the community that we need to address. And second of all, I'm a farmer's daughter from Colorado, and I know how to plant some, some vegetables and make them grow. And so that's how it all really got started, was as a means to really relate and directly connect with the residents in the community.
You know, you mentioned something talking about areas being food deserts where you're not seeing some of the big chains come in. They say they're not successful, their people aren't coming there. But when they leave, everybody's wondering, well, what happened? Why aren't more people, more chains coming into these areas and working harder at making it successful? What do you think?
I think, unfortunately, it's a stigma that's attached to it in serving these areas. We have a Walmart in the community, and it's one of the highest yielding gross Walmarts in Tampa. So we know that, you know, the funding is there in terms of making the revenue. It's just the stigma that's attached to, you know, opening a store, I think, in these communities that are that just have a really, really negative stigma that are attached to them. And unfortunately, you know, that's just kind of how it's been played out in this community. But we're really excited about, you know, the positive changes that are coming. And we see a lot of new opportunities to bring in some, you know, additional resources for the residents, specifically being, you know, grocery stores that are needed.
Absolutely. And a community garden is a wonderful way to go. I'm seeing more and more of these gardens, to use the phrase, crop up in the neighborhoods. But teaching someone to be self-sufficient is so important. This is a wonderful start.
And what's been so wonderful about this garden is it started with about 15 organic beds and grew to 30. And we started to get the community engaged and involved because they wanted to know what was happening.
Uh-huh.
So every time we harvested the vegetables, we went door to door and delivered those to the residents as a means to say, come and get engaged and involved. And one of the things we noticed was some of the really expensive organic, you know, spotted eggplant and dinosaur kale wasn't getting picked. And we said, well, what's the deal here? Why, you know, aren't these really healthy and nutritious foods not getting picked? We realized people don't know how to cook them.
No.
We have a a really culturally diverse community, which is one of our greatest strengths. We have people from everywhere here in this community, but they don't necessarily know how to cook the food. So we said, you know, there was a little house on that piece of property, and we said we're missing a step if we don't try to figure out a way to really bridge the two. So we turned that little house into a teaching kitchen and classroom as a means to really take what you're growing into, you know, the classroom and cook it and prepare it and teach families how to cook healthy, nutritious food and not be so reliant upon fast foods and, you know, corner stores that really, you know, don't have good nutritional values.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I saw a story on the news just this morning. They're talking about the obesity epidemic in America because we're relying on the easy way out. And when you can grow your own food, the difference is just amazing.
Absolutely. And for us, it's really uniting the family. We think it's important to, you know, have these kind of cooking classes around the family unit. So that way, you know, they're teaching their children how to cook and they're really understanding the nutritional value of it. And then also it's that bonding experience. You know, I grew up learning how to cook. I'm a farm girl, so we cook everything from scratch. But, you know, aside from that, it's a really amazing opportunity to really bond with your family and just, you know, create that time. So we're starting to see that, and it's really exciting because we know the nutritional value that it brings. But also, you know, when you teach someone to cook, you know, that carries with them, and then they can teach their children and so on and pass that down.
So what is in the garden right now? What's in season?
We have eggplant that's absolutely delicious. We have some cabbage that is just huge, the size of your head. I mean, it really is growing amazing. We have some pole beans. We also have some raspberries, but those are actually getting, those have been almost picked clean because they're so delicious.
Oh, yeah.
And tomatoes, but they're about done now. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to plant a new crop in a couple weeks. We're excited about that. I think we're going to try some different things that the residents have been asking for that we've never done before, so we're gonna kind of veer to the left and try some exotic different foods that we haven't tried before and see how that works.
Well, like what?
There's a yucca plant that some of the individuals from Casa Mexico talk about. They use it a lot in their cooking, and we have no experience with that. But we're gonna try it. We're absolutely gonna try it and see how that works. There's also some different medicinal trees and plants that have been brought to our attention that are great not only for, you know, just planting a tree and having the shade and coverage, but also being able to use the leaves and the tree and the bark for all kinds of medicinal purposes. And that specific tree is called a mim tree. So we've learned about that, and that's from India. So it's really cool for us to really, you know, talk to the different residents that are engaged and learn about their cultures and try to see if we can bring that to our garden to really kind of make it a cultural diverse community garden so that way everyone feels like it's, you know, a part of their home.
Well, it sounds like you're well on your way to that. How does someone get involved with the Harvest Hope Center? Is it membership? You just have to live in the community?
Absolutely. If you live in the university area community, you are welcome to come and take part in the community garden as well as the Harvest Hope Center, where we have different nutritional, you know, teaching classes as well as different programs for youth and adults and seniors and veterans and people with disabilities, you name it. We have all different kinds of programs through our Get Moving program. And they just have to go to our website, www.uacdc.org. and contact us, and then we'll give them, you know, all the information that they need to be plugged into these great community programs.
Now, when they're working in the garden, do they have to take a class before they can work in the garden so they know what they're doing?
Absolutely not.
Cool.
we have a great garden guru, we call him. His name is David Whitlam from Whitlam Organic Farms, and he comes twice a month and really teaches anyone who wants to learn about just the basics of gardening. And then if we have some more expert gardeners, he kind of teaches two classes at once. So it's a great opportunity if you have no skill set or if you have a very, you know, high-level skill set to be engaged, because that's the whole point is we want to engage everyone and make sure that the opportunity is available to anyone who wants to get involved. And what's so cool is now in our community, you start to see little pop-up gardens in people's front yards. That's how you know we've been successful, is they're starting to grow it, little planter boxes in their own yards, you know, taking what they've learned from our garden and implementing it at home. So we're really excited to see that.
Now, is the garden open to the public just to come over and see it? Do you have certain hours?
Yes, the garden is open to the public, but it is gated, and that's more for just the animals and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
But we do gardening gardening groups on Wednesdays and Fridays in the morning. But we also, it seems like we're almost out there every day for one reason or the other. And we work with volunteers who maybe that doesn't fit their schedule. We'll sure. allow them to come and check out a key and open it up, and then they can close it up if they want to, you know, if they just want to work on it by themselves, if the time doesn't work in accordance to their schedule.
Well, it's a great opportunity, number one, to be involved in your community, to lend your expertise, to gain some more knowledge, and to learn how to feed yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And let's give your web address one more time.
It's www.uacdc.org, and our phone number is 813-558-5212.
And we'll make sure we have all the links in Ann Kelly's kitchen. Sarah, a real pleasure just to speak to you over the phone, and I'm looking forward to coming over and watching everybody harvest and get their hands good and dirty.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Ann. I really appreciate your time.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.